Amen. Let's sit for the first reading.
The reading is from the letter of Paul to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 12 to 17. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified by him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Reading from chapter 3 and verse 1. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise
Would you please be seated? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What a wedding that was. At Windsor, I mean. Yes, I know it was 8 days ago, but people are still talking about it. And that's how the Dean of Windsor began that service, without any preliminaries. He just stood there and said, "In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." And what a sermon that was. Yes, I'm still at Windsor. Yes, it was 8 days ago, but people are still talking about it. And that's how the preacher began his sermon. No preliminaries, just "In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." So I'm in good company in starting this Trinity Sunday sermon with the very same words. I won't repeat them again. A wedding. Weddings. Now, I don't conduct many weddings these days, but thinking back to the days when I was a vicar, I sometimes used a particular verse at the start of my short talk during the marriage service. It was, since you ask, from the middle of the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12, which goes like this: "Two are better than one, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken." And that's the perfect text for a wedding. Two are better than one. That's the husband and wife. And the threefold cord being God, the Holy Spirit, who makes that marriage secure and long-lasting. Two are better than one, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Well, now, let's forget weddings for a moment. Have you ever noticed that in life at large, things often go in threes? You want to give someone a rousing cheer. It's hip, hip, hip before the hooray. In Parliament, if you want to have a special vote on a matter, you're called there by a three-line whip. Two isn't enough. Parents who want their children to prosper, they encourage them in the three R's. And one of those three doesn't even begin with an R. But it has to be there. Triplets are everywhere. First in time and importance comes the Holy Trinity, the triplet that is at the heart of the Christian faith: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And have you noticed that the Holy Trinity is reflected not only in theology, in the Christian faith, but in church architecture as well? 126 years ago, our church was completed and dedicated. Question: how many windows adorn the east wall of the church? Have a good look. Sorry, choir, use your imagination. Not two, not four, but three. Below the windows, the delightful Victorian reredos, a bevy of saints. How many saints? No, not eight, not ten, but nine. Three times three. The Trinity is everywhere. Spare a glance and look up at our electric lighting in church. There it is again. Three in one. The Pharisee Nicodemus paid a visit to Jesus by night. I presume he didn't want to be spotted by his friends. And in our gospel is the Trinity. Nicodemus would have believed in God. He was a teacher of the Hebrew faith. He certainly believed in God the Father. Yahweh, Jehovah, Elohim, called by whatever name, God the Father. But deep down, he sensed it wasn't a satisfying, fully orbed faith. So his visit to Jesus. the second person of the Holy Trinity, who explained to him the need to be born again by the Spirit of God. The Trinity was there in that room. True faith, said Jesus, isn't just conforming to certain laws and customs. Nicodemus would have known all about that. It is essentially having the Spirit of God within one. A bit like, said Jesus, a bit like being borne along by a strong and purposeful wind to give you power and direction. Now, when I got to this part of writing this sermon, I just felt it needed a little more illustration. And with weddings still in mind, let's put it this way. I think what Jesus was saying to Nicodemus, that to be born of the Spirit was a bit like falling in love with God. Falling in love as opposed to studying a handbook on how to enjoy a successful marriage. You see, Nicodemus had got as far as the handbook stage. His whole life would have been based on the Old Testament scriptures. But until he fell in love, as it were, and opened his life to the personality of the Holy Spirit, he would never know the joy and satisfaction of a fully orbed Trinitarian faith. But is that all the Christian faith is about? Enjoying the presence of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in our lives? And worshipping here Sunday by Sunday by Sunday? Back to that Windsor sermon. At one point, Bishop Michael Curry used a memorable turn of phrase. He said, "Two young people fall in love, and we all showed up." Two young people fell in love, and we all showed up. Indeed, they did. Like here at St. John's, three or four services are held every Sunday, and we all show up. We're here because we enjoy worship. The hymns, the liturgy, the prayers, the sermon, the fellowship. And so we all show up. But, is that as far as it goes? Until next Sunday, when we all show up. And the Sunday after that. Let me explain what I'm getting at by offering you again a visual aid. Well, as a matter of fact, I've already mentioned it. It's our east window. Three lights representing Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But not only that. Do you recall the last verse of our gospel reading this morning? I'm sure you do. It's the best known verse in the whole of the Bible. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life." As I said earlier, that window can be for us a perfect reminder that we come here to worship the Trinity. But more than that, let me put it this way. About a year ago, I was chatting with a member of the congregation, and I have her permission to recount this, and she said to me that she wasn't at all keen on our east window, because it didn't say anything. No stained glass. No message. No inspiration. And of course, that's the legitimate point of view. But I say, maybe that is the very point of the window, as it stands. No stained glass, no image of John the Baptist, but what you do see, and what you can see with a little imagination, is not nothing, but everything. The big wide world is through that window out there. For God so loved the world, not the church, but the world, that he gave his only son. In that Windsor sermon, the good bishop used the word love 64 times in 14 minutes. For he said, that's what our teeming world needs most of all, love. Anyone argue with that? Not me. We just need to look through that window and go out there and do it and love it. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.